All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, chapter 62, please. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you might bless in the preaching of your word this morning. Lord, we have come to this old country church so we could fellowship with other believers around the Bible, your word. We have come to have you speak to us, Lord, about things within our life. For the Holy Spirit indwells each believer and will teach us all things you've said. We thank you, Lord, for sparing our lives so that we can be. We thank you for two ears to be able to hear the word of God. Thank you for the mind that you've given us to be able to understand the word of God and then apply the word of God to our lives, that we would be different people. Thank you for this opportunity. May we look forward to your blessing. Bless us as we do. Grow in the things of God. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Psalm and verse 62. I'm going to start with just one verse this morning to start a study in the Word of God. And it's found in Psalm 62 and in verse 11. Verse 11, it says, God has spoken once. Twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. I want to preach this morning on power. So we need the first basis of even knowing who has all of power. The Bible tells us very plainly in that verse. We get to the place sometimes where we kind of try to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and think that we're something and that we can get more powerful than God. With that pride, of course, God can't stand pride, for it's to be humble before we can approach God. Well, we can open up our hearts and minds to Him. Actually, there are four fundamental forces in the universe that account for all interactions between matter and energy. They are the strong nuclear, the weak nuclear, the electromagnetic, and the gravitational forces. The strongest of these is the strong nuclear force, which is 100 times stronger than the electromagnetic force. The next strongest of the four forces, the strong nuclear force, operates only within the nucleus of an atom, and so is not experienced directly within everyday life. Its range is about 1 centimeter, that is 1 × 10⁻¹⁵ meters, and it keeps atoms together using subatomic particles called gluons. That's what scientists know about power. I'm sorry to say that most people don't know what real power is, because all power belongs to God. You've got a book on it. If you got the King James Version and you're reading the Word of God and you You see what God has said? Over 272 times the word power is used in the Bible. It's an important subject because no matter what area of life that you're in, we already know who has the most power. He's the boss. He's the big dog. Amen. Whoever has the most power. And we can be afraid of the power of different nations and military weapons and all the rest of it. But when it boils down, God has all of the power. God's the one that created the atoms. God is the one that created the universe. Everything that you read in Genesis, the book of Genesis explains exactly how we got here. But people want to make up some unscientific fairy tale about all kinds of different elements and things get together and all of a sudden, boom, they blow up. And here we are. Craziest thing you ever heard. But of course, if you're not going to believe the Bible, you'll believe anything. You'll believe anything. So scientists try to tell us that evolution is scientific, and then no, there's nothing science about evolution. Creation. God created it. That cell phone that you have today, that isn't just an accident that happened at one time. There had to be a creator to that. Somebody built that. Somebody put power in that thing. Same with a computer or anything else you can think of, whether it be our cars or furnaces or anything in the world, there had to be a creator behind that thing. It's not chance. By the way, you're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You didn't come from a monkey, although you look like one. No, we come from the hand of God. Why? Because He's got all the power. It all comes back to the power that we'll find out this morning. Albert Einstein said, if you took all of the stars of heaven and divided them equally between all the whole earth, and He gave each one of us 7,200 years to name each star, there'd still be stars that didn't have names, and wouldn't have any name at all. It's so vast. They put that Hubble telescope up there. Boy, we thought that was just, and now they got the West up there, James West telescope. God said you couldn't count them. God says it's like the sand of the seashore. It's so vast. That's the example of power. There's all kinds of galaxies and things up there. They say billions of galaxies. You can't see them all. And God said you couldn't. You know what's important to God? Faith. Because that's the only way you're ever going to get saved. God said, requires it of us to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ alone to be able to go to heaven. It's good to have faith, but you had better have it in the right thing. Better have it in the right person. Do I have faith? Yes, but not in man. I trust no man. I trust only God. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ over 50 years ago. And I was saved from my sin, given eternal life that I know that I have today. I don't hope that I have it or think I have it. I know I have it. What a wonderful thing. Why? Because God's got all power. Look at Psalm 148 as we continue on. Hundred and 50 chapters in Psalm. Psalm 148 goes on and talks about and glorifies God. It all starts off with praise ye the Lord, and just about every verse says that down through that chapter. Also chapter 149, and in chapter 150, every verse starts with praise ye the Lord. Why should you praise him? He's got all power. I don't know about you, but I don't want to praise somebody that doesn't have the power. Amen. You see, I don't have the power. By the way, you don't have the power. And the Pope doesn't have the power. And no religion has the power. No scientist has the power. No atom bomb, nuclear bomb doesn't have all the power. They're very powerful, but they don't have all the power, and that'll be God. So we need to praise him. And it continues on in verse 7 especially. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all the deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all the hills, fruitful trees and cedars, beasts, and all of the cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and judges of the earth, both young men and maidens and old men and children. And it goes on and on and on. What's it talking about? It's talking about God's creation. We're to praise him because he has the power to create everything that ever was. John chapter 1 tells you there wasn't anything made that wasn't made by the Word, Jesus Christ. He was the Word in flesh. He is today. And he came for a mission to earth. God became a man on the time that we call Christmas and celebrate that. It's when that virgin birth had. It's where that God chose a Jewish maiden to bring forth. God in flesh. Lived that 30 years proving that he was God in flesh by doing the miracles he did. He finally paid the price for us. He didn't die for his sin, for he never sinned. But he did die for my sin. He did die for your sin. And so he willingly went to that cross. And he shed his blood. That blood that was shed is the only thing that can save you from a devil's hell and take you to God's heaven. There's nothing weaker than somebody that's dead. But the third day, he proved he had all of the power in resurrecting that third day. We're going to celebrate that in a month or so, right? Easter, we call it. It's the resurrection day. So it's all of his creation that he's talking about here in Psalm 148. What a blessing the things that God has made. There's a book that is called The War Against the Atom by Samuel McCracken, a former senior research fellow at Boston University's Center for Energy. The scientist concludes that nuclear power is not only safer than many people believe, but also safer than most other forms of energy. Radiation exposure for a person living on the boundary line of a nuclear plant can't, by law, exceed 5 millirems a year. This amount equals approximately the exposure to an individual from an average year's worth of color television viewing or from coming from cosmic rays on a single coast-to-coast airplane trip. You know that atom that God used, those atoms that came together to form everything that we know, all of the magnetism, which we do not fully understand, no scientist does. There's so many things that we don't know. Why? Because God made them. God created them. Why? Because he's got all of the power. You don't question God. He questions you. You don't judge God on what happens. God judges you. He's got the right to because he's got all of the power. Talking about power this morning, even nature. He's made it all. It's all for us. Go back to Proverbs. The next book, you should probably have it on the same page. Go to Proverbs chapter 30, please. The book of Proverbs in chapter 30. You never know what your pastor is going to preach on in this morning. It's power. And a little off the ordinary path that I preach. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fists? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? And what is his son's name? If thou canst tell. Amen. Right there in the Old Testament, it talks about the Messiah. It talks about Jesus Christ. There's only been one person that has come from heaven, died, went to hell, and 3 days later, resurrected again. And that verse says it right there in verse 4. You know what he did? He gathered the wind in his fist. He bound the waters in a garment. Who has established the ends of the earth? What is his name? Amen. You better get the name right. The name isn't some man. It's the God-man, Jesus Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. He has come to do everything that is necessary for you to have your sins taken away and also live a peaceful, happy, joyful life. That's what he wants for you. And he did it all for you. All praise goes to him and no one else. Because he's got all of the power. In Matthew 28:18, where Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He couldn't give us that commission. And that's to every one of us, by the way, if you're saved. He said, all power belongs unto me. Right now, you know it's God. Because we read there in Psalm 62, all power belongs to God. And Jesus said, all power belongs to me. Amen. That's kind of a proof text for the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God for that. He's such a great God. And he's the most powerful. You know what? You don't have to fear anything if you fear God. Because he's got all power. Who are you going to be afraid against? He's the ultimate one. He's the one we fall at on our knees and fall on our face to worship him. He's worthy of. Go to Acts chapter 10, if you would, please. Go in the New Testament. The book of Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus got all of the power. And you know what he did with that power? He didn't do that to kill people. He used that to bless people. He used his power to heal people. He used his power to raise the dead, to cure leprosy and all of the other things that he did. And he's still able to do it today. We see miracles happening all the time with people on earth. Even Patty Heberly that we worshiped with us many years here. But even though she has that disease that's killing her, has crippled her, she still looks forward to being with the one that has all the power. Amen. What a blessing. Boy, it really gives you purpose and meaning of life, does it not? That you have your faith and belief in the one that has all of the power. Go to Luke chapter 8, would you please? Luke chapter 8. I want you to meditate on these things as I point these things out to you in God's Word, that it might be a blessing to you. The book of Luke chapter 8 and verse 25. Here they are, going out into a boat, as it says in verse 23, as you get the context and so forth. And guess what? They were afraid. That's always a bad thing. You don't need to be afraid of anything. He said, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth the winds and water, and they obey him. Amen. It's hard for our puny minds to be able to comprehend the power that the Lord Jesus Christ has. I don't want to worship anyone that doesn't have all of the power, brother. And I found out who's got it. So, how about spending your life praising that one every day? Even as we saw there in Psalm 150. I mean, just about everything, every day. Let me ask you a question. Do you pray every day? Honestly. Don't lie to yourself. You're certainly not going to lie to God. He knows. If you do even pray every day, do you praise him every day? Should he be praised? Should he be prayed to? He set all of the examples for us in his life. He would also get alone, go into a mountain, something he'd pray. In Gethsemane, what a prayer, John 17. Just preached on that to you. What a blessing. He speaks to the wind and the water, and he rebukes them. Wind, controlled by God. Wind blows on the water, and so the water can either be a blessing to you or it can be the worst enemy you have. You want to keep yourself on the top of the water, not under the water. Okay. What a great God. What power there is. You see all of these, what we call disasters, out here in the world. There is a living God, and he will bring judgment. He always has. Adam and Eve, when Eve took of that fruit, and it wasn't an apple, by the way. The problem wasn't the apple on the tree, it was the pear on the ground. Yeah, amen. But what happened? As soon as she sinned, judgment fell. She gave to her husband. He listened to his wife, not remembering what God's told him to do. And when he got the order, priority out of sync, he did what she said to do, take the fruit and cheat. And so sin came upon all men, the Bible says. Just from that. And judgment always follows sin. That's why we need a Savior. What a blessing that only God can give us. Go to Matthew chapter 17, please. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17 and in verse 27. This whole context was the Pharisees were trying to get tribute money. They were trying to put Jesus on the spot about not paying his taxes. And when in Peter in verse 26, he says, or in 27, Jesus said, "Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast a hook, and take up the fish that first cometh out. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give unto them for me and thee." How many fish in the sea? How could God, Jesus Christ, arrange all of the fish and have one that had swallowed a coin be the one that he knew Peter would catch, open his mouth, and there's the coin? Brother, that's power. Want to put the odds on that? To what power would that all come to? Some people find the story of Peter's fishing trip. It's difficult to understand and accept. On that trip, Peter cast in his hook, and the first fish that he caught had a piece of money in his mouth. The Calvary Herald once carried this story. Thelma Anen of Oslo, Norway, was delighted when her 15-year-old son, Robert, brought home a 9-pound cod he just caught in the fjord. She was even more pleased when she gutted the fish to prepare it for dinner later that day. In its stomach, she found a diamond ring, a family heirloom Mrs. Anan had lost while swimming in the fjord 3 years earlier. Count up the odds on that happening.
Not coincidence.
It's not a coinky dinky. I don't know. That's the power of God. He shows it over and over again. The miracles that he does. He shows us. He proves it. He preaches it to us. He's wrote it down in his book 272 times that he's got the power. Why do you think you have the power? No, he has the power. Just a couple more this morning. John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John chapter 10 and verse 18. When he's talking about his crucifixion. In John 10, 18, he says, "No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down on myself." He's talking about his life. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Amen, amen, amen. That crucifixion was all planned before the foundation of the world. Jesus knew what he was walking into. That's why he was born. He was born to die. Not to die for himself, but he died for you. When he was on that cross, his mind was on you. Nehemiah 8:10 says, "For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." He gives you strength to go through life. Through the reversals that you have in your life, the disappointments that you have, the things that aren't fair that come into your life. By the way, life is full of things that are unfair. God didn't say they'd be fair. He said he was going to square everything up at the end. And sure enough, he will. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You understand, if you're a born again child of God this morning, you got it made. You got the one that's all power in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. In your life, you can talk to him anytime. He guides and leads you. And when it's all over, you get to go to heaven. Amen. How do you beat that? You can't. Rejoice, my brethren. Rejoice. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "But God has not given us the spirit of fear." But of peace, sound mind, and power. God's given you the spirit of power. Is that the way you live your life? Or do you have a spirit of fear? There's only two spirits in the whole universe. It's either the spirit that comes from God or the spirit that comes from the devil. If God didn't give you the spirit of fear, it must be the devil that gave you that spirit. because he gave you the power. In the mind, in your life, you've got nothing to be afraid of. Fear will cripple you from doing what God told you to do. It'll not only affect you, but your spouse, your family, your church, relatives, and everything else. What a terrible testimony for unsaved people to see. You're afraid of this, that, and everything else. That's no way for a Christian to live. And we got a book on it. We've got what God said about it. Well, I told you I was going to wrap it up, so I got to go to the last book of the Bible now. We go to Revelation, please. Revelation chapter 3. The book of Revelation chapter 3 and in verse 5. Here the Lord says to the church of Sardis, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Why? Because he's got all the power. He can come whenever he wants to. And you're not going to tell what day or hour it's going to be either. Jesus is coming back again. Are you ready to meet him? Are you respecting his power? Do you live like you have power that God has given you? Go to chapter 12, Revelation 12. Revelation chapter 12 and in verse 21. Oh, I guess that's not going to work. Chapter 21, please. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. That was the Alpha and Omega speaking in context in verse 6. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, seeing we have the power that God gives us, we can overcome. Stop acting like you're a victim. You're an overcomer. You're more than conquerors who loved us so. Start believing in the things you read in the Bible, the things you hear preached. Let your life change. God has great blessings for you. What a wonderful thing to know somebody personally that has all of the power. Heavenly Father, thank you that you've made it clear in the Word of God. Lord, I have made a feeble attempt to be able to preach the Word of God to these brethren in front of me. I pray that you might use it for your honor and your glory, and that we might always pray, praise, and live for you. If there's someone here this morning, Lord, that does not know you personally, they've never had a day where they turn from their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus, may this morning be the day. If there's things in our life we need to bow our knee to you and get out of our life, help us to come to the altar and to do business with you this morning. Have your will done In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Take your hymn books, please, as we close. Number 221. Will you come to Jesus?